Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you could be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. And listen, I know you're out there, you're hustling, you're closing deals, you're making money, you're turning prospects into profits. So I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kind of guest that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is no exception. So welcome aboard, and as always, thanks for spending some of your time with me today. Now, you're listening today, and you're an inventor, and you think you have what could be the next great billion-dollar idea, just like Jamie Siminoff, who is the founder of Ring Doorbell, who was actually rejected on Shark Tank, but yet only 5 years later, he sold his idea, Ring Doorbell, to Amazon for a cool $1 billion. Wow. So one of the interesting things about that, Shark Tank rejected him. And yet Mr. Wonderful himself, Kevin O'Leary, said, great ideas are a dime a dozen. It's execution. Execution is the hardest part. That's what's priceless. So if you're listening today and you have what you think could be the next great idea, something you developed for years, a passion of yours, but you don't know where to begin. Again, now we're talking about execution, as Mr. Wonderful himself said, is the key here. Because there's everything when you have a brand new invention. There's patents, prototypes, trademarks. It's seeing if it's viable in the marketplace. Do you have to get investors? There's so many different pieces to taking that great idea and turning it into the next billion-dollar idea. So that's why I'm very, very excited for today's guest. He's the inventor coach. He's Brian Freed. And he himself has been inventing for over 20 years. He has dozens of patents, hundred plus trademarks. He has licensed many of his own products. And he even has some of his products that have been turned into small businesses. So it's certainly something that's been a passion of his. And he can lend a great wealth of information on the execution side of what could be your idea that could be the next billion-dollar idea. And when you are that starry-eyed inventor and you don't know what those first steps are, it can be very intimidating. It can be daunting. And I appreciate that. So that's why I'm very happy and very excited to have on today's guest, again, the inventor coach, Brian Freed. Brian, welcome aboard the Profit Express. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Tim. Thank you for that. And for sure, it's unbelievable how people just come up with an idea. And it doesn't matter if you're a doctor, lawyer, senior citizen, unemployed student, it doesn't matter.
Right.
People out there are doing something at some point, or they're watching and they come up with something. And the question is, who are the ones that are going to do something about it?
I like that. What a great way to start off with, because it's, you know, Mr. Wonderful said, hey, great ideas are a dime a dozen. And you know, and I know plenty of great ideas have gone to the grave with people because they didn't execute. They didn't take those first steps. So that's what we're here to talk about today. Now, here's my first question for you. You've been in the business 20 plus years. You have many of your own inventions, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But how do you, as an inventor coach, what do you need to see to say, hey, this could be a great idea? What do you look for?
It's interesting because you try to look at things from a consumer perspective first. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. When I come up with something, and I've come up with many inventions, some have made it and some haven't, and that's okay.
Right.
But what I do is I think about who's going to use it. So I'm making something for me because it's something that annoyed me, or I think that there's a good opportunity for it. And then I have to think about other people. Are they going to use it for the same reason that I came up with it? Is it something that's going to make me money? Is it something that I should put my time, effort, energy into? And is there going to be some kind of return? Or am I somebody that wants to come up with something and be able to put a patent on the wall, and I'm happy with that? So first thing is, Tim, that when somebody comes up with something, I think about who the consumer is that's going to use it. And right. It doesn't have to be a consumer either. It could be an app. It could be a business idea. But we're talking about product. invention right now. So when you do come up with it, people are very excited. I mean, you get this like, and it still happens to me, you get this like really funny feeling in your stomach, like, oh my gosh, I think I have the next $1 million invention. Well, you said billion. I'm okay right. with a million or right. $1 billion invention. And then it starts to sink in of all the things that you need to do. But many people don't know where to go, who to trust, what to do next. So that's where I come in. And what I do is I help you to figure out, is this something that is going to make you money? And what is it that I learn about you, who you are? Mm-hmm. So what do you do for a living? Because most of the time, Tim, people aren't going to school or waking up saying, I'm going to be an inventor.
Right.
They
right.
have some kind of profession, and then it ends up turning into like a side hustle, and maybe it makes you some residual income. Maybe you tried and it didn't work out, or it turns into your full-time job. So there's a lot of things. Yeah.
So the real first filter that you're looking, you know, as an inventor coach, your first filter is marketability. Is this something that could go to market that, you know, solves some sort of a need, and people are willing to buy it, to pay for it? I mean, that's the first thing that you're looking for, marketability.
Definitely. How many people are going to use it? So if somebody comes to me, Tim, with a golf ball, and they start off by telling me, everybody in the world is going to want my golf ball. Okay. Right. And then they step out of the golf course where everybody is playing golf, and they ask somebody else, do you play golf? Do you play golf? Not everybody plays golf. So I start to figure out what my window of opportunity is. So I've come up with inventions like I have a product called Pull Ties, and that product is a bag sealer. So it started off with like bread. But then if I just went on and I was on QVC with it, I went on and said, this is for bread. And some people eat bread, some people don't. But if I said, this is for bread, this is for cereal bags, this is for freezer bags, what I'm doing is I keep opening up my window of opportunity. Right. At the end of the day, I say, how many people have a kitchen? So I try to figure out like how to expand that window of opportunity to be able to give people their best shot of success. But one of the things, Tim, that is really, really important. So, yes, okay, will people use my invention or my idea? Sure. What's next? Is it something that you can call your own? Is it somebody else's invention? I'm not sure. So what we do is we do a simple patent search online, mm-hmm. and not necessarily a patent search, but a product search online. So I tell people, put in a descriptive term of what your invention idea is. They put it in, click on images so you can visually see all these things that are coming up. Are there anything that looks similar? Well, that's where you have to be real with yourself and say, you know what? This looks like it's already out there. I'm done. I'll move on to my next one. Or is it enough of a difference to really be able to call your own? Or is there nothing out there really that looks similar? Well, that's great. But did you search with your eyes open, or did you close your eyes, or you went into Walmart and you walked down the aisle and your idea wasn't out there and you went, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a gazillionaire because it's not in Walmart.
Right. Now, so, all right. So you say something important, yeah. Brian. You know, when the inventor has the idea, they have this widget idea in their head, they woke up and they're, you know, on cloud nine, they're so super excited. And then you say, hey, let's go out. We got to do a Google search. We have to start to see if there's something like it out there. Do some inventors, because again, you've talked to thousands of them in your career, I'm sure, are they too emotional about their product? Is it hard for them to be objective looking at it as far as what is it facing the marketplace? Is it a marketable idea? Is that a hard thing for inventors to be objective?
Well, it's even a hard thing for me, and I have to remind myself every time I come up with an invention. It's really separating the emotion from the business. And you have to put your business cap on and say, I am going to be investing in this idea. I have to do research and development. I have to put money into it. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple ways to do it. Either you're going to license it to earn royalties, or you're going to manufacture it and start your own business from it. But yeah, you have to start making decisions. So you have to think about which way you're making decisions. And when you're talking to people, I know it's amazing, and you're going to show somebody your idea, and you're going to show your best friends or your family, and they're going to tell you how much they love your invention, right? Because if they said that it sucks, you're probably not going to speak to them again. Right. So of course they're going to tell you it's great. So you really want to be able to do your due diligence, but I'm really big into this patent search. I think a patent search with a patentability opinion. So yeah, you can search on Google and you can go into Walmart. You can go on to USPTO.gov or Google Patents and kind of put the descriptive term and see what comes up that's similar to yours or maybe exactly to yours or nothing at all, and start to go through and see, is what I came up with patentable? Mm-hmm. Is it something that I can call my own? Can I license this? Because most of the time, if you're going to go to a company to license, that means you're going to a company that already has product in a retail store. You're flipping over the package, and that company is the one that you can potentially license to. So you call them up and you say, I have a great idea. I think that would align nicely with your product line. Would you be interested in taking a look? Okay, great, look. And now every time, so they like it, they would manufacture it, distribute it, and you would earn a royalty from it. On the other side, I have people that say, I want to be an entrepreneur. I have money to invest, and I want to be able to manufacture this and start my own business and build a brand from it. So I can help people like that too, just from the idea in their head.
So really it's, you know, there's a number of factors where it might just be licensing could be the right way to go, depending upon, you know, the connections, the dollars, the, you know, that people have to invest. It could be manufacturing. It seems like there are much different avenues, obviously. But before we get to that, though, one thing I do want to talk about, how important and how soon, because again, we're talking about, you know, would-be inventors here, okay? How important and how soon should somebody protect it by seeking out a patent?
First, before you start to spend the money on a patent.
Okay.
Again, going on Google, Yahoo, Bing, whatever you want, going on USPTO.gov, going on Google Patents, going online and putting those descriptive terms in to see what's out there and being true to what it is to pull and just to evaluate. But a lot of that stuff is like very detailed. So mm-hmm. you want to be able to hire a professional, a patent attorney or a patent agent, to look through what you found and compare to your idea. And then to start to figure out, is this something that I'm going to put my money into? So is it patentable? Okay. So I might have spent a few dollars on a patent search, and I can keep going forward with it and making a prototype and getting to a point where I can go through a full patent. But maybe it's not, and I'm done at the first step because I can't call it my own. So I do it. I try to do it right away. I immediately do my own search, then I do a patent search, mm-hmm. and then I figure out if I'm going to spend money on a patent. There's a few different patents. One is a provisional patent application.
Right.
It's just a filing right. date, and that gives you the right for 1 year to say that you're patent pending while you're exploring the market. On the other side, it could be a design patent, which is just ornamental. It's 15 years, no maintenance fees and all that, and you can do a good amount with a design patent. Or you can do that provisional before that year is done, convert it into a non-provisional and protect it. So how much do these things cost him? A patent search could cost you from $550 to $1,200. A provisional patent application can cost you between $750 and $1,000 or $1,200. Mm-hmm. A design mm-hmm. patent can cost you about $2,000. And then having a non-provisional patent application can cost you about $4,000. So this is it's a business that does take a little bit of money to put in, whether you want to license it to earn royalties or sell your ideas, some people say. And on the other side, it could be to manufacture it. And that would also include, like, if it's plastic injection molding, there's tooling, CNC machine, like different types of methods or die cuts or whatever you're doing that sure. can incur costs. You have the production cost, but you're starting your own business.
Now, so let's say we're at the point where you've done the search Mm-hmm. Nothing else is really like it out there. And you determine it's a marketable, patentable idea. So now you're moving forward. And I'm trying to get the right sequence here for the listener. Mm-hmm. So say we're at the point of looking for investors, okay? What should, again, because like you said something very important in the beginning, Brian, where a lot, you know, somebody can come to you because you're the inventor coach with an idea, and they could be a cardiac surgeon. They could be a plumber, an electrician, an accountant, right? A stay-at-home mom. And now they're at the point of, now I'm looking for investors. Now it gets real. We're taking things to a different level. Now you're obviously potentially giving up some level of equity depending upon the deal. So here's the question then. What should they be careful of, or how should they approach looking for investors?
I think investors are a very tough way to commercialize your invention. If you're coming up with an idea and building it to want to manufacture, like, okay, I'm going to give you money. Now what? You're going to have 5,000 units in your garage. What's happening next? So if it's something like that, it doesn't happen all the time with investments like that. Most of the time, it's when you have an established business or brand is usually when an investor would come in. There's very few that I've seen that give money just like that with like seed funding or angel investing. It's more with you coming up with it from friends and family, crowdfunding. You got to ask people quite a bit to on social media to invest. So there are options, Tim. So if you are limited on funds, maybe you're too busy of a person, maybe your life is, you know, a lot of things going on, then you might want to consider licensing. And licensing means, again, that you're giving your rights to your intellectual property most of the time, that's how it works, to a company that already manufactures and distributes and you earn a royalty from it. If you and I've worked licensing deals for inventors that have a ton of money and they just don't want to do it, or they don't want to spend the money to do it, but they could. On the other side, you could have somebody that's very low on money, has the time, or maybe they don't have the time, and you just go through stages. Like, it's interesting, Tim. I helped this one lady real quick. You know, she had an interesting product, and she was looking to license her idea to a company, you know, find a good company to get it out there with good distribution. And she wasn't able to do it. I mean, we just didn't hit the right company. So I said, why don't you manufacture it yourself? Like, why don't you go into business with it? I don't have the money. Well, how much is it? I don't know. 25 grand. I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, how do you know you don't have the money? So I ended up getting some quotes with her. And the tooling, the mold, cost $600. The per unit, which she thought was going to be $3 per unit, turned out to be 80 cents per unit. The first run was 3,000 units at 80 cents is $2,400. $600 for the $25,000 mold she thought it was going to be. So for $3,000, she had 3,000 units. A couple dollars for shipping from overseas, fine. 3,000 units sold, 3,000 units sold, 5,000, 5,000, and still going. And now she has an interesting opportunity to license her invention. And other people are taking notice of how many she's selling. And now she has another opportunity to consider licensing. But she enjoys selling it herself. But that's the thing, is you might need to kind of do things on a shoestring budget. You might want to consider licensing. And these are the things that I do, Tim, is I help to understand who you are, what your life is about, a little bit of your financial situation. I'm not asking to look at your bank, but just like what's feasible for you.
Sure.
How much time do you have? And then I'm going to help you to make a better decision on what you should do with your invention idea. Or after we're done, I might tell you that not just based on how I feel or my opinion, I might show you and help you to realize that this is not the one and you should wait for the next one. And that's okay too. I'd rather that you don't go in a big circle and end up where you are right now, spending all this time, money, energy, and effort. I'd rather you see it. Ultimately, I help you to make better decisions. So it's your decision.
Now, All right. So as you're describing this, Brian, and today's guest, the inventor coach, Brian Fried, is with us. And so if you are that up-and-coming budding inventor, today's show is perfect for you. So, again, there's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of these inventors are getting into a world that they're unfamiliar with. And part of the value of what you do, you know, being an inventor coach is, you know, there's two paths, as we've discussed. And, you know, one of them is licensing, one of them is manufacturing. And that was a great story you shared. You know, the inventor may just completely dismiss manufacturing and think, oh, gosh, I don't have the money for that. You know, they could be thinking, oh, it could be $500,000, $1 million. They have no clue. But it's having an objective conversation with you to kind of shed some light that, hey, you know what? It might not be as crazy as you think. And that can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very, very important for people to be real. And I definitely am real with people. I know I break a lot of hearts when I go over it with them and they realize that they should stop. So you said two paths, right? Licensing, manufacturing. The other one is to move on to your next idea. Mm. So it's really interesting. Like, there are some amazing people out there with ideas that they just, there's some that stop in their tracks. They write it down. They text themselves. They email themselves. You can do a million things these days. I used to write it on the back of my, I'm getting old, but I used to write it on my hand, whatever. You want to capture the idea because you have something that came up, that you came up with. And if you don't capture it, poof, it's gone.
Right.
So, but with me, like coming up with things, most of the time, it's just things that annoy me. So if I wake up, and right away, I'm going to the bathroom, I'm going to the kitchen, I'm going in the car, I'm driving around, I'm people watching, I'm at the airport, I'm whatever. There's things that are going on around me that I see that I'm doing and what other people are doing. And now I'm trained to really stop in my tracks to capture what it is. And most of the time I go on and I look and I say, oh, it's already out there or it's done. I did the same thing with my daughter, Tim, when she was growing up.
Yeah.
I would tell my daughter was awesome. Little inventor, Alana, right? She had her invention book and she used to write things down. And I'd say, I'm so proud of you, but this is already invented. So you know what? Every time you come up with something and it's invented, it's okay. I'm going to buy it for you. Right. So that kept going on for a little while until she said, Daddy, I invented the iPad. I'm like, you're done. This game is over. I'll get you the iPad, but that's it. So, no, it's fun. It's fun. You got to make it fun. And look, like anything else, Tim, that you do, it's hard the first time. And honestly, every invention is a different path and a different journey for me personally. But all these inventors and who it is, what somebody came up with and who they are is always different. So it's an interesting thing. And I feel like a matchmaker to figure out what the like what they should do with it, who they are, like what the right direction is for them. And I've been doing this for a while. I'm on the front line talking to people. I host a National Inventor Club. I host a TV show myself. You know, I have my third book coming out next month called How to Make Money with Your Invention Idea. I'm doing whatever I can to get the word out. And I appreciate you having me on also so I can continue to get the word out. So people have some expectation of when you do have that idea, yeah, to stop and capture it. And that's what it is. I love planting the seed to people who haven't done this yet to say, next time, capture it and see what you could do. Maybe you could be the next millionaire inventor.
Well, you see, that's, you know, we talk about, you know, the business end of bringing an invention to market. And there's lots of steps, which we've been discussing, obviously. But then there's the element which precedes all this. Like you said, if you have the idea, capture it, write it down. Because, you know, the Profit Express, you know, it's about winning the battle for business. And really, there are so many, if you think about the unlimited human potential of human beings and the creativity of human beings, and a show like this and having someone like you on just encourages that, you know, which I'm proud to say we're, you know, there could be one person listening today who, you know what, they're like, I'm pursuing this. You know, listen, let me give Brian a call. You know, I have to take that first step, you know, because what to me is the tragedy is somebody who had the idea for Ring doorbell, but didn't do anything with it. That's the tragedy in this. So now, all right, so let's take a different step here, a different direction rather. So I've been fortunate. I've had Barbara Corcoran on the show a couple of times, obviously from Shark Tank. Everybody knows her from Shark Tank. And Shark Tank has been on since 2009. So I think America, whether you're an inventor or not, they love the show. They love the idea of people coming up with these products, these inventions, and taking it to the Shark Tank. And it's so funny that they passed on Ring Doorbell. How hilarious is that? So let's talk about for a moment. I'd like to get your perspective. So you're at the point and you're pitching it to investors. We'll just talk about the pitch. Forget about the investors and the deal and the dollars. How do you, or what would be the elements that you would share with an investor? I'm sorry, an inventor. What should they know when pitching their product? What makes for a great product pitch?
Well, the first thing is, who's going to use it? Who does it relate to? Because you want to capture their interest. But you know what the most important thing is, Tim? Mm-hmm. It's really about, and Mr. Wonderful says it all the time, how am I going to get my money back? So if you go, and that's the same thing that I do when I come up with an idea or I'm looking at something, representing it as a licensing agent, I'm thinking about the customer. Then I go backwards to the buyer. Then I go to the licensee. Then I go to the inventor and myself to figure out that path.
Sure.
And that's the thing, is where you have to put yourself in their shoes. So I think ultimately having a plan of return is very important for an investor, because that's what they're there for, is to give you money and get it back and make more than what they gave you. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
Right, right.
So capture their interest right away. Just get to the point. I mean, there's so many times where people just go in circles. Just tell me what it is. Make it easy. But one thing that I can really give advice on, Tim, is that a lot of people are focused on one category or one industry. Mm-hmm. And if you can think about how something can be made and used for multiple industries, again, you're opening up your window of opportunity. I think that really makes a difference, because somebody can come up with something so specific for some category or some function. But then I said, what if you do it for this or this or this? Maybe what you said should end up being fourth or fifth on the list, and this should be in the front because you'll sell more that way. So if I'm an investor on the other side, I want to know what my audience is. So tell me the biggest audience, tell me third and fourth priority on the list, but think about it. If you're coming up with something also, and it's something that has to be included in something big, maybe it doesn't. Maybe I already have a shovel. Maybe I already have some device. Give me something to add on so I don't have to buy that whole thing or manufacture that whole thing, and keep it simple. That's where a lot of my ideas come up with. I haven't invented anything like earth shattering. I've come up with simple ideas that are mass market. Like I don't have my paper towel top of, but this is one of my latest ones, Tim. During COVID, I don't like talking about what all this stuff, but okay, we were all kind of locked in.
Sure.
A lot of times we would go out and try to get paper towels and toilet paper and everything, and it was out of stock. So I was like cherishing my paper towels. And I started to be like a little annoyed with like the top of the paper towel roll getting wet and then dried up and shriveled up. And I was like, it's dirty. Like then I saw like little dirt marks on top, like from, I don't know, must have been chocolate. I hope it was chocolate. but then I started to ask some of my friends and family to take pictures and show me the top of their paper towel rolls. And it was disgusting. Tomato sauce and dirt and everything else. So I said, you know what? I'm not the only one with this problem, obviously. So I came up with this thing called the paper towel topper. And it goes into, so you have a paper towel stand. I wish I would have brought it down. Paper towel stand. And you put this onto the top, into the inner tube of the paper towel roll, right? The cardboard. Mm-hmm. And now when your hands are wet or dirty, you put it on top. And then you pull the sheet off of the paper towel roll. That's it. So this has been cranking on Amazon, and it just was shown to Walmart a couple of weeks ago. So I'm excited that this thing is really moving along. But something simple, Tim, that You don't have to be that golf ball player or golf ball player. You don't have to be the golf player. You don't have to be the electrician, right? Specifically for somebody who does electrical work. This is something that everybody has a kitchen, and people were buying like two of them, three of them. And I started to ask people, why are you buying so many? Well, I have paper towels in my bathroom for my guests. We don't use towels anymore.
Right.
Okay. Buy two, buy three. So that's what I'm saying. Like, think about your window of opportunity. Think about who's going to be using your product or your idea. Mm-hmm. Think about how much money somebody's going to have to invest in that you're asking them to, or you're doing it yourself. And then how are you going to make the money back? You know what, Tim? You're talking about Profit Express, right? How many times have I spoken to people, business owners, or people coming up with ideas, products, and they say, Brian, this is going to cost me $3 to make, and I'm going to sell it for $5. Is that a good business decision? Or it cost me $5 each to make, and I'm going to sell it for $6 each, so I'm going to make $1 profit. So you're putting $5 in to get one out. Is that a good business decision?
Yeah.
Tell me, Tim.
I'd pass.
Tough. So now you're talking about getting investors involved also. They're going to want return on investment. You got to pay yourself too. You're not doing this like, I know it's a hobby. It could be fun, but now you're in business when you're spending money, or you're just doing it for a hobby. I'm not sure. But for me, when I'm working with somebody, I want them to make money. So I want to figure out the best way to get there. And maybe you don't have the money, so you license it. Maybe you don't have the money and you wait until you do. Or you do find other ways to come up with the money and just bootstrap it and get it done.
Sure.
And that's what I've been doing all these years. And I'm proud to see people in business for themselves. And I'm also proud to see people kept their money in their pocket and waited for the next one.
Well, you know what, to your point, and it's been a great conversation. And again, Brian, thanks for being on board today. You know, you help the inventors look at it objectively because it's their idea, it's their baby, so they're emotional about it. But part of, you know, being the inventor coach is helping them look at it objectively. Is it patentable? Is it marketable? And, you know, can we make money? Can investors get their money back? So, listen, it's been a great conversation, Brian. I appreciate having you on. People want to get in touch with you. What's the easiest way? How are you out there?
Well, brianfried.com. is the easiest way.
Right.
And the thing is, I have to say this, Tim, and I say it quite a bit, but a lot of people spell my first name B-R-A-I-N, which I guess could be appropriate for a wacky inventor like myself, but B-R-A-I-N, and my last name is Fried, spelled fried. So I could be brain fried if you spell it wrong. So it's B-R-I-A-N, B-R-I-A-N, F as in Frank, R-I-E-D.com, brianfried.com. And look, even if you're a wannabe inventor, newbie inventor, join National Inventor Club. I have free and paid membership on there. You can check out Got Invention Show that has inspirational inventors that are selling products in the market and hear their journey of bringing their idea to reality. Others that are just trying to figure out their next way to be able to get their product out. That's gotinventionshow.com. I'm doing whatever I can to get the word out to inspire you and to help you when you have your next big idea.
I love it. Brian, thank you so much. Brian, thanks for being on board today.
Thank you.
And this is the Profit Express. And I'm reminding you to check out each and every show when they download on Wednesday shows, great shows like the one I just had with Brian Fried, the inventor coach himself. So if you are that budding inventor, if you've got that idea that you've been sitting on the sidelines with, listen to today's show. What Brian shared was phenomenal information to get you to take that first step. Who knows who is in possession of that next great billion-dollar idea? And as always, we have to thank the biggest fans of the Profit Express, those who support us and love us, our sponsors, Corbett Public Relations, supporting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. And listen, each and every day, let's go out there and do one more thing that you need to do to continue to win the battle for business. Until next time.